Right. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is your favorite podcast for gay and geek culture from a queer black perspective. Megan Sheen, I am Nick.
And I am Victor, and we're here.
We are here, and we're going, this is a special episode today. We are going to talk about everything that is X-Men 97, the first four episodes so far. It's going to be riddled with spoilers, so if you have not watched any of the episodes, pause, go watch them, and then come back and listen. And we're just going to go from each episode to see, you know, a small synopsis, what we liked, what we didn't like, that the plot, all that jazz, the action, which the action I would say is at least sometimes a little bit better than the original. But anyway, episode one. So episode one, it's, well, Victor, I'll let you start out with the first episode.
So, well, episode one, we kind of, you know, we get a little bit of what's happened, a little bit about what's happened after we ended years ago, kind of reminding us about death and people who were responsible, and the fact that, you know, Scott is struggling to keep, you know, things going, you know, with the team and everything else. But we'll get to see a pregnant Jean. We'll say that for now. We get to see the fact that, you know, she's pregnant. He's, you know, trying to balance that to make sure that he's, you know, he can handle these things. But we also see that there's still some underlying things in the works. They're working closely with the government now about Cooper. And if y'all not familiar with her, she's always been a part. She's been in the comics since the 80s. She's always been a character that's been working very closely with the government in the sense that, well, she's part of the government. But she's been working with different groups over time. But in this one, she's been working close with the X-Men because she was a friend of Xavier. So we kind of get a feel of what's happened since then. But we also get introduced to Roberto DaCosta, as we know as Sunspot, where he is being attacked by the Friends of Humanity. We saw a little bit of them back in the original series, but they are after him. And they're using parts from the Sentinels as a part of their attack, which is very interesting. And then we get to see, we also learn from this, that Bishop has joined the group with a fresh
looking. He doesn't have his Elder Barge here now.
Yeah. And then we also see that, you know, Storm got a fresh new do. And so they are, we get an introduction for, if you all have not been introduced to them, that was a great introduction of Storm and Bishop's powers in the very beginning. You know, Storm had to get you that monologue, which I was like, if we didn't get that monologue, I don't know what I would have, you know, done.
Put the whole series away.
So yeah, she, you know, we got a little bit of that. And again, it was a nice introduction to everybody. We even got a slutty top Gambit to remind.
And can we talk about Cyclops here? Like, this was the Cyclops that I wanted to see in the movie. The Cyclops, because it looked, if you are a gamer and watched that first episode, a lot of his fighting moves when he was fighting the Friends of Humanity looked like something from Marvel versus Capcom 2. And the backslide with the optic blast was like, he had never did that kind of shit in the animated series. So for him to use it as like a defense mechanism rather than offensive was really cool. I just really enjoyed this Cyclops, and this Cyclops was 30 minutes better than all of the movies that they did.
Yeah. And you're right, because Cyclops, you can tell he has some growth. You know, there was some growth. who he is. And again, he has that pressure of being the lead. He's always had that, but he has that pressure and he needed to step up. But he also needed to show the team that, you know, that he is that leader of the team. So it was good to see those moves. I was kind of surprised when I saw those moves. I was like, okay, all right. It's like,
Right.
who you been training with, you know, Psylocke? Like, I'm like, who you been training with? Because these are some moves. These are not like what you've been doing, where you just kind of pose and do that little Kim way of fighting.
Not the
Her flight moves, but
little Kim.
he
Right.
was doing some stuff, and I was like, okay, I'm feeling that. I'm feeling
So they finish saving Sunspot and bring him to the mansion, and he's basically introduced to all of the X-Men. What is the next? I don't know. I've seen this episode like three or four times, and I know they try to get assistance for from Gyrick. The same person who, I won't say killed Xavier, rendered him incapacitated for now, I'll say. And they go find Trask, but Trask already got the heads up from Gyrick that the X-Men were coming. Prior to that, let's get into that scene at the in, on the Blackbird, like how I think that this was basically intentional that they were going to destroy the Blackbird to get there, and how Cyclops destroyed it, and everybody was just like, "Oh yeah, we're just gonna do this. We're just gonna kill our basically jump out of this big ass jet, and the Storm and Rogue are going to save everybody, and Cyclops is just gonna do what Cyclops does and optic blast all the way down, and he gets his iconic "to me my X-Men" line, and everybody gets information, which I thought was another cool little motif.
Yeah. Again, we were seeing like Cyclops has been practicing, but for those of us who've been reading the comics, he's always done great things with his optic blast. And it was kind of neat to see him kind of do that, but he had that confidence too that, you know, he was like, we got this. Don't worry about it. I want to quickly jump back to if y'all did not realize Wolverine and Jean to some degree. It was interesting how how she can say something to him. He won't everybody else can say the same thing to him. She will say it and he's like, oh, okay. It was like
He's still leaning over her after all this time.
I mean, it's kind of funny because it's like Jean ain't gave him no sniff, no whiff, anything. Any coochie and still he's that caught up.
Right.
It was kind of interesting to see that. But let's go back to once they in the desert though, because when they got to the desert, it was good to see them fight because again, I love this first episode because it was like if you were not familiar with, especially for a lot of people who were not there for the original series.
Right.
Because a lot of us were. I was there from the beginning because I was in college when that stuff started. That stuff started, I think, in the fall. And I was like,
Yeah,
that.
it debuted October 31st, 1992.
Yep. And that was when I was already in college. It was like 2 or 3 months after college. And that was, I remember all of us will be, I had a TV, but you know, everybody who didn't have a TV was always in the lobby watching it. That early in the morning. It was kind of funny. I think back when people were there, people were hungover or whatever, but they were all because you know it was a Saturday morning, so you know everybody planned up. But it was kind of neat because that's how we knew who were the geeks. We all showed up in the lobby to watch. And I lived in the kind of an artsy dorm, so it was kind of neat to kind of be around that. It's not even there anymore, I think, in Murray. But it was kind of nice to see that. But anyway, we get to the desert, and they are fighting. They're showing us things. We get in a rogue that, you know, I love to see rogue fight. So I always feel like the cartoon did this well, the movie never did, but I always like to see what she can do because she is super strong. She is funny when
She's a
she,
bruiser.
yeah, when she cracks her lines. I love that we saw that the new thing that Gambit and Wolverine do when he will, you know, charge up his claws. Beast, you know, Beast has to always throw in his little things. But let's talk about the mother.
And let's give credit to Morph, because I think Morph is actually really slept on. He's Because he can change it to anybody, mutant or human, and also have their powers for a limited time. So him changing it to the blob, and use it, and Wolverine using him basically as a bouncy pad. And in later episodes, when he's changing it to Lady Deathstrike or Colossus or Psylocke, or when he was Angel, Archangel in this one, I think I'm glad that they brought him back and are using him in a greater capacity than the limitation of his story in the original series.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned it because I remember it was really interesting because he was in the first episode back then. And it's kind of funny if you look back at the first episode, they're fighting the Sentinels, and this one they're fighting the Sentinels. But then when Cyclops said, give them the forecast, it was just the way that was filmed, how you. It was a reminder, but also what I love, and I'll give Bo this credit because I'm sure he did this. As many people know, there's been arguments, especially online, about if Storm was an Omega level mutant, and most of us knew that. But I love that when, in this episode, the Sentinels was like, you know, a Omega level mutant
Like a
approaching.
level threat detected.
Yeah, and. You know, here she's just walking. But it was that fact that, you know, she's able to, because of her power, turning sand to glass. But it was just that walk. And then when they had that far off scene where you just see her just walking in the desert, it was like, you know, something was coming. And then she, it was that look where you see the lightning in her eyes and the way she points. I was like, this is faggotry, because this is how we would have been doing it too, standing there pointing out fingers a certain way. But then when she.
Can we say, like, Storm, first off, I noticed how darker she looked, which I want to give kudos to because I feel like that was especially intentional to see, like, this dark skin. This is what we want. We want to see a dark skin Storm. We don't want to see a Halle Berry Storm. We don't want to see Lightbright or, a little yellow storm. We want to see black tar baby storm. And I'm glad that the cartoon gave us that. And I hope that especially Kevin Feige, I know you had a hand in this somehow, and I know you better be watching. And we were going to rip you to shreds if come the live action storm, she, you know. Brown paper bag color.
Yeah, because we were right about that. But it was just kind of neat when she was talking about some, she said ancient sands. I was like, uh-oh, here she goes. But it was nice to see
Right.
how it goes, because it was like, we haven't seen that in the way of what her power can do. So he was giving us Omega. He was giving us who Storm really is. And she reminded everybody she is the mistress of the elements. And just when she just unleashed those shards out there to them and just kind of ripped them up, and then they just all just fell to pieces. I was like, well, then.
And why I'm failed to understand why people wouldn't think that she was an Omega level mutant because she is in touch with weather and weather and patterns, not just of Earth, but of other planets. So You mean to tell me this person that can control wind, that can control rain, that can control all of these elements that can help or hinder us, Homo sapiens? You mean to tell me she's not an Omega level mutant? Like, let's, people are not thinking that through. And another thing that they did that the original cartoon didn't do is actually say out loud that Storm was an Omega 5 mutant. Like, I don't think anybody in the original series was classified as that, with that moniker. So I'm glad that, like, outright, this dark skinned Storm is Omega 5. She's the cream of the crop. So there's no kind of a question.
Sure. So yeah, we got the fight and then things were over. But then, they get back. Magneto send up there just looking cunty as he could, be like, I'm glad y'all home because I got something to tell you. It was literally like it felt like something that you would see like in a soap opera or in a Real Housewives
Dynasty.
with some receipts. I was like, sir. He was like, and all of this, it was giving me when Alexis finally got the house. She finally got that
Oh, when she was at the on top of the stairs, and she had the, yes, and she was wearing that white little number, and she had the furs, which she, like, so you could take your tramp and your furs to get out of the house or whatever.
junk.
Something to that effect.
It was giving me that because had the D and everything, and that's what it was giving. I was like, Magneto, okay, come in. Let his hair grow out a little bit. He's giving you all types of stuff. He's gonna come out here and tell you like, all this is mine. Like all of this,
Yeah,
all.
he used a little dry shampoo. He went to the dry bar, got a little blowout or whatever. He said, not too much. Now, I don't want to have too much of a blowout, just a little blowout tease. And I marched on to Gray Malkin Lane and say, well, this shit is mine now, so my X-Man report to me.
And for those of y'all who didn't know, in the comic that kind of happened, where Xavier was dying and he pretty much told Magneto, like, could you take care of my, take care of them, protect them. Now he ended up being more of a person for the New Mutants, but kind of the same thing, he was kind of in charge. But like, uh-oh, all right, so Magneto's coming back in. So that kind of closed out the first episode. But now we get into the second episode. And that's when, we get, I feel like in this one, we're getting more into the heart of them, what's going on, in a sense of like, okay, now this is kind of shaking up things. Scott's feeling a certain way because he's feeling like, okay, Professor didn't trust me to take care of this. And Jean's trying to help him, calm down a little bit about that. But there's still stuff going on. And I'm kind of jumping through this, but we know there's stuff going on to where they, there's going to be a hearing. And we got a little bit of, I'll be honest, it felt like we got a little bit of January 6 in this episode. And they just,
Oh, absolutely.
yeah, when the, Friends of Humanity showed up, showing off a little bit. And as you were talking about with Morph, we got to see how Morph really acts. I know everybody's been asking about how do you get those swords when he was flat.
We're gonna, like, if you can suspend for a moment that these people have special powers, you can suspend that the sword came with the costume.
Yeah, because I was like, y'all ask that question, because did y'all ask that question when Mystique back in the original X-Men movie had the claws when she turned to Wolverine, they were fighting. So, he
True.
cut them off, but still, she was able to.
Right.
Yeah, so, just saying.
Going back, we didn't touch on Jubilee. I like this grown up Jubilee, and the fact that she is not that tween annoying type of girl. She's matured a lot. She has a say. opinions. Well, she had opinions back then. Excuse me, but she has even more opinions now. I like that she's not the kid anymore. She's a grown woman, and she's fully integrated into the team. Now, when Morph was Lady Deathstrike, when the Friends of Humanity broke through the line, I was like, "That, how did she get here? What is she doing?" And then I was like, "Oh, wait a minute, that's Morph." It always takes me a while. Like, how the hell did these random ass characters? Oh, wait, that's just Morph, just being Morph. I love the part where Jean and Wolverine are at the house, and she goes into labor, and she's like, "Oh, he's here." And then Wolverine is looking for a fight. He's like, "Who, Apocalypse?" She's like, "No, nigga, the baby. Like, get me to the fucking hospital."
Yeah, he's
This
obviously at
drive is.
the point, because it was like, dude, all right. But it's interesting, it was interesting to see him like that. But it was like, no, we gotta go. We gotta go get this baby out. That was neat. But I quickly want to jump back because I forgot all about this part. As we are getting to know Roberto, one of the things I kind of felt really bad because he was giving, when people are like coming out or dealing with their sexuality, how he doesn't even, he was saying, like, I don't even like myself. I don't want to be myself. That kind of hit hard because, Roberto was going through it. Like, he was rich. He's handsome. He has all these things, but hell, he couldn't even be honest with himself. And that was something I felt like Jubilee was able to help him kind of get through, was the fact that she was, they're close in age. And he was
Right.
able connect with her because Wolverine messed it up when he was in the danger room. So it was kind of like she was able to connect with him to where he is still dealing with some self-hatred, and that's something that some of the mutants, if you have watched the series or even read the comics, that's something what they dealt with. Rogue dealt with that, especially in the movies, because she was,
Right.
the cure when they, I think, in three. So it's just something that you really have to think about. How they are really giving you different parts or different pieces of what it is to be a mutant in that day and age. But the second episode, Magneto's explaining one of the things I like when he's explaining how things are, how things should be. There's that part when he was literally saying, when Storm was speaking, he was like, let's listen to the goddess. Like, this is literally a goddess here. So that's get into that. And I like that he acknowledged, even though he has fought them, he respects them. That's one thing I've always liked about Magneto. He's always respected the X-Men, regardless how many times he's fought them. He always respects them.
Exactly. And I like I wish they will explore this on down the line. The combination of Magneto and Storm's powers together, because I think that is very fascinating to see. And I don't believe that we've seen them combine their powers, either animated or is live action, if I think it correctly. But that little, how she came down, well, no, how she came up, and the sky got really dark, and it just showed like the outline of her body when she was Magneto had made these fences, and she put the proverbial lightning gates up. I was like, that was really fucking cool. And that her little speech to the UN, the Lindsey Graham looking wannabe. He's like, "Look, shut up, listen to us, and you might survive this. Don't think." She reminded me. Did you watch the X-Files movie, the first one, right before the bomb went off? Scully is talking to the security guard. He's like, "I don't need you to think. I need you to pick up that phone and listen to what the fuck I'm trying to say. Just listen to me. I'm going to help you survive. And if you don't, then you might as well be dead." So they got all of these people that have stormed the UN trapped. and Executioner, which oddly enough, I thought Executioner was the actual mutant. I didn't think he was a cosplaying insurrectionist. He takes a shot at Magneto, and somehow the gun is a concentrated form of the bracelet, well, not the bracelet, the chokers that they had on Genosha Island, if you remember way back on season one of, I want to say, episode 5-ish, when Storm, Jubilee, and Gambit go to Genosha, and then it's actually a slave island. And the shot is intended for Magneto, but Storm jumps into it and it hits her. And it takes her powers away. She can't. That part made me sob. Like, she can't feel the air. She can't feel the moisture. It's just like, what did you do to me? And Magneto went off. And I was like, I need you out. I really wanted him to put those Black Air Force Ones on and kill all of those people. But I know for the plot, he couldn't have. But how pissed off he was. He was like, you know what? No, I can't let this survive. So he took everybody out of space, and everybody's freezing and doing like this, the Helter Skelter movies. And he was like, you know what? Old me would have let y'all have it. But new me is trying a different route, and don't let make me regret this. And took their asses back. But that, his little speech, I was like, he's reading the fuck out of them motherfuckers.
And I love that. I love not only his new costume, which he got from Shein,
Right. His bodysuit.
but it was the fact that, yes, he could have done that. And I think in the comics, when he was on trial, he was also talking about what he could do, but he's going to give you, he's like, I'm going to do what y'all never did for us, and that's give us a chance. And so, because he could have just wrecked all types of havoc. Because if y'all know Magneto, he don't play. And if you look at even the movies where they were showing the younger him, he doesn't play. He does not play. He will slaughter everybody to make his point. And that was hard to see, because I read when Storm, I remember reading when Storm lost her powers, reading that comic when that happened. And just seeing her, like, she cannot feel the moisture, she cannot feel the weather, it's not talking to her. That was heartbreaking. But I think what also got me was when, Beast was like, let's go and check this out. What I liked about that scene was Jean was right there. So they just had this conversation about them being sisters and how Jean was like worried about this baby coming out and being a mutant. And that made me think about a couple of things, like how you may worry if your child will be gay. Or something that I remember Melissa Harris Perry said years ago, back when Trayvon Martin was killed, that she was like, she did not want to have a male child. Because of the fact of bringing a male child in this world means that that was dangerous to have to deal with even before they are even old enough to understand what that is. And that was an amazing scene, because it also showed us that they are like sisters. They have always been like sisters. Back when the comics, when Jean was trying to save everybody, and when she got hit with the Phoenix stuff, she was one of the things she said to Storm was like, you've been more of a sister than any than my own sister. And she was so afraid, but Storm was like giving her strength to keep going. So it was kind of nice to see that. It was nice to see that. It was nice to see that connection between them, and also that scene where she kind of turned to Storm and held her really close. That way, it's really good.
I'm so glad that they highlighted their sisterhood, because Jean and Storm have always been ride or die in comics. And I'm glad that they had that conversation prior to Storm getting the diagnosis, that I'm always going to be you was talking like a mother. You weren't being crazy about your feelings. But when Storm got the diagnosis and she's just sitting there and Jean just hugged her, like you knew that that shit was not fake. And what another thing that got me was when it was storming and Storm got scared. There has never been a time that she was scared of the thunder because she controlled it. So now without her power, she's like, I don't know what that is. And it goes to like, if we are not, something about it just resonated to me, especially being a Black person, like how much we hold our identities to ourselves. And if those identities are just for shaken or taken away from us, who are we now? And it was almost tough to see that done to a Black person because they identify with their powers if so much that if I don't have my powers, then who am I? I'm just some kind of regular person that I don't know what regular means now. And so when Storm wrote her letter that she was going away, it reminded me of that episode of Jim when the day the music died, when Jim ran off with Riot down to Mexico. And I was like, oh my God, the band is breaking up. And everybody is crying, and Beast gets really teary-eyed. And I'm like, I didn't realize this until like the third or fourth watch. She also left Jean her earring. And I was like, that was such a good scene, I thought.
Yeah, that was, seeing her get on the bus, and it made me think about like, wow, it's a lot, because it was like she is leaving, she goes down to Texas, and I was laughing because she's in Texas. This episode, is coming around the corner. Cowboy Carter, like it was all that type of stuff going on in Texas. She's dealing with these things. That's why I made a joke that was like that part where she's in the bar having to. A drink that was 16 carriages, because I was like, that's what came out. The 16 carriages, with that. I was like, that's the first thing coming online. But we get to see,
There's a knock on the door.
huh?
I said there's a knock on the door at the
Yeah.
end of the episode.
And then that was interesting. But we'll get to that part right there where Storm is gone. They dealing with that, but then here comes this knock.
Knock, knock, knock.
It is Jean. And she says she needs X-Men, and she just passes out. And they were like, what? And then Madeline, well, the other Jean's face was like,
It's like, now why is your bitch ass here fucking up my plan?
so here she is. So that was a nice cliffhanger. Cause I was like, because we were all playing, and I knew the truth, but I was being petty and I was playing on the internet saying, is that the real Jean? Is that not the real Jean? And I already seen that episode. So I kind of knew what was going to come up. And then I'm mad at y'all. Of course, that's the real Jean because she fainted. I'm like, stop.
Well, did they lie though? I was like, oh yeah, that's real Jean. Because after she fainted, and then the other Jean, that facial, her face got really pissed off. I was like, oh, I ain't never seen Jean Grey get that pissed off. Except on that holiday episode when Gambit was fucking up her cooking. But that's another story. And then that's the end of episode two. And now we get this, okay, this Jim Jericho as who is he kissing type of episode.
Sailor Moon as stuff. So we get into the third episode, Fire Made Flesh, I believe. And They did a few things. Now, for us comic book readers, they kind of blended in. Now, I'm gonna tell you, that was a year and a half of storyline they put in. Now, actually, it's longer than that since introduction of Madeline back in way back, I think 82, and then the reveal of her and Jean was 88. So I think about that time, but I think about how they. The Inferno storyline, I think, was about a year and a half. They kind of put that all in there, but they also mixed in a little bit of King Size X-Men 3, I think I'm wrong with the number, where they end up going to Dante's Inferno for to save Nightcrawler. But they kind of mixed in up the
Okay, because that's why they had the imagery of everybody falling down into
yeah.
something that looked like resembled hell. Okay, that makes sense.
So if y'all go back, because that's not the Inferno in the comics, but that played a little bit of the Inferno, where Magali Saderos, who is adoptive mother of Nightcrawler, sent him to hell because she believed that he killed her real son. That was in the comic, but they kind of mixed a little bit of that in there. And so, but anyway, what they did was, you know, Beast. He was there was some pettiness between Beast and Morph because
Especially more.
Morph was like, okay, but then I was like, Beast, you didn't have to do it like that. Because there was a part that was like, we need to check and see if it's real. And it was like, the real Jean is right is passed out. I don't know who this woman is. And I was like, Beast, you know, you could have done you could have pulled somebody aside. You could have so you're not really her.
Right.
You
Can
just
we didn't get to at the end of the episode. Episode two, the upcoming love triangle between Magneto and Rogue at Gambit.
Oh yes. Well, and I'm a little it's hard because again, I have read that in the comic. That was like that barely happened. That's why I'm like, I guess they're, you know, playing it up for us now, but that was a one. That was one issue.
But I don't understand if it's in the time, if it's in this animated storyline now, where did it happen in the past? Because there was no kind of indication that they were even remotely involved in any of those past five seasons. If this is supposed to be a continuation,
Yeah.
so where did their little relationship start and end in
Right,
terms of this? Timeline.
and it's interesting because they have a past that was mentioned back in the first, and so,
Right.
and I was thinking, what would this past be? Now, technically, he was the leader of the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, and then Mystique was the next leader of that.
But he was already gone as
Yeah.
far as the leader by the time she was with Mystique and then when she left to come with the X-Men.
Yeah. So what happened? And I guess they'll touch on that. That might be an episode that they may touch on that.
It's got to be because they cannot bring something like that up to the viewers and then not explain it. You know
Yeah.
what I mean?
Unless it's like she went to him first when she got Miss Marvel's powers, and he tried to help or something like that. I don't know. But that would be very interesting. But yeah, in this episode, Morph, they was like, oh, look at this. Magneto and Rogue, they've been training. Oh, they just training all day. What's going on with that? I was like, sir, that's some Sable Kobe shit right there.
It really is. Did you see like that shower scene with Wolverine and Morph? For a minute I thought it was going to go very homoerotic for a second. I was like, are we going to see some dick?
Oh
But I was
man.
like, not a way. This is a cartoon show, so I was like, Nick, never mind.
Well, you know, well, you know, this ain't like some anime where like Ninja Scroll and all that type of stuff. Get all that. But it was just interesting. 'Cause I was like, I remember my partner was like, is this for kids? Because he was like, they up there.
Right.
Because he made the joke. He's like, this is, he's like, I can tell this is for kids. And then he was like, whoa, he seemed way too excited to get in that shower. I'm like,
Exactly. He was like, wait a minute. You was just like dick hard as a rock trying to jump into that motherfucking shower more. What's tea? What's
yeah.
tea, sis?
Have y'all role played? Like, what?
And I think that's an underlying issue. Well, not an issue. A sense that there's all of this sexual tension between Cyclops and Wolverine, Wolverine and Moore, Xavier and Magneto. It's, I don't know if I'm just like a horny little bastard or whatever the case may be, but I know a lot of other people are picking up all of this sexual energy that has been throughout these relationships and these shows. I can't be the only one.
No, because I was laughing at that picture. They show the picture of Xavier and Magneto like in the past, and I was like, that looks like they just got like, it looked like this is their little picture they have. They have their little anniversary. They look 30 at this point. Like it looked like that, but yeah, I couldn't help but to think, okay, what if more, because you know, I think about in the original cartoon, it was Wolverine that was going all out to save Morph. And it was all, he was already torn up when Morph died. He was like really torn up about it more than all the rest of them in the very beginning. So I don't know what has happened, but it does. But part of me was like, he could have role played. They could have been like, you know, Wolverine could have been, this is me. But I'm like thinking Wolverine could have been really horny. Morph, like,
Or drunk, or both.
yeah, I can help you out with that. You know, the classic, you know, situations that happens with gay boys and straight boys and stuff like that. He's like, I can help you with that. And he may be turning to Jean or your
Or
co
Cyclops.
Marika, you know, turning one of his greatest loves and just
Right.
gave him a party. But I just thought that was a very interesting scene. But we have to get into where, once they realize who Jean was, and knowing that the other Jean, we can go ahead and call her Madeline, she had that moment, she was like, wait, what's going on here? But then it was, you know, then we got Sinister in the shadows. And I'm like, here comes this bitch.
This queen pulling stunts.
It was
I always found Mr. Sinister a fascinating villain. I always thought he was one of the girls, especially how they did his voice. And then he calls his little squad the Nasty Boys. So it's like, of course he's one of the fucking girls. I really, this episode highlighted how I like how the cartoon uses their uses color, because it's so rich, and it's when it, Sinister was having Madeline influence in these, I don't know, projections or whatever they are. It was so, it was really cool how they did that.
Yeah. And it was a part of me was like a little like, okay, she's the Goblin Queen, but it was kind of hard because I know why she was the Goblin Queen, because that was really a demonic situation why she became the Goblin Queen with Sim and I forgot the other demon's name, but they in the comic, and you kind of got a little bit in this episode where you saw like these faceless versions of Jean or whatever. In the comic, there was a part when Madeline was realizing like she didn't have an identity. She didn't know, she was understanding like she looks just like Jean Grey, but who is she really? And she was abandoned by Scott, which that's another thing we need to talk about is that part. But she was abandoned by Scott. She felt out there. So she took a demon offered her a chance to get things back, and she took it, not thinking it was real, and that's where she became the Goblin Queen. But let's talk about Scott. He's like, I'm not gonna abandon my family like my dad did me, and then turn around and said, I can't do it. I'm like, didn't you just say like 10 seconds ago? But I thought it was really interesting when when Madeline realized that she was the Goblin Queen, and she did this huge, this whole Sailor Moon change, this magic girl change, and was, but then she was just really like, okay, this is what I was here for. And then his Sinister was like basically explaining, like, you were made to do this. Now, and I like that they even used the line from the comic where he's like, you can call me father. That's in the comic. When he revealed himself to Madeline and who she was. Because in the comic, he tried to kill Madeline Pryor because he knew Jean Grey returned, and he was like, they're gonna know everything as soon as they meet. So I need to use the Marauders to try to kill her, but she used what little she used power she didn't know she had to get out of it. But when he appeared and kind of explained that, and she kind of went and changed her outfit, that's where I felt like, okay, this is Madeline Pryor, and we've never seen a animated version of Madeline Pryor, but
Exactly.
this was like a great version of her using her power. And that line she was talking to Scott, I was like, when she said, say my name, I was like,
Exactly. I was like, are we watching a kids show?
yeah.
And she's actually the Goblin Queen or whatever she goes by. Her costume in the comics is more revealing than what they, because she had in the comics, she had to get a good bikini wax, like a fucking Brazilian, because them thong ass draws that she's wearing are do not leave anything. Yeah, that she was dressed like she
Yeah.
was trying to make a couple of dollars in the comics.
And they monitor it really well, even with the figure, because like if you look at the figure here, like they even got it, well, they even covered that up, because even that was a little bit bare.
So
Yeah,
basically, she's just wearing like a corset, some pleather leggings, and a cape.
so yeah, I thought that was really interesting. Where they had it, but when she was going after them and fighting them all, I like what she did to Morph, because that was kind of a playoff to the Inferno. So when he turned into magic, when she like touched him and she turned into Dark Child, that's what she is when she becomes dark. That had a lot to do with the Inferno, because in Inferno she was a big part of how that even happened. So that was like, oh, that's neat. And that, I had to explain to people, like, oh, they was like, who is she? And I was like, that's magic. Even if you
Yeah, I
watch.
didn't know who that was. I was like, what happened here? Did I miss something?
But I even said to people, even if you watch the New Mutants movie, you saw magic. Now, she didn't go dark, dark, but you saw what she can do in that movie. But
And technically, Ileana is in the original series, but she never uses her powers. So I love that they give us this opportunity to introduce new mutants into animation that we've never seen or that we forgot or like this new audience may not know.
yeah, and so we have this, we have the fighting going on, but then we have Jean, like, she's, she woke up from her fading spell,
Hello, beauty rest.
and so she was like, she has to stop this. And what I do like how you the I cannot say the word, you can see the difference in between her and Madeline, is she puts her hair up in that ponytail really quick, because that's
It's
what
like,
people.
oh, it's time to get access.
Yeah, and if y'all notice, they even made that change. But Jean, that version of Jean, had her hair down. The Jean we know has her hair in that ponytail. So she,
I did not catch that. Like they did in the intro.
yeah.
Now you see Magneto's in the intro rather than Xavier. Storm was out of the intro, which tore me the fuck up. And the difference between Madeline and Jean is that Madeline had her hair all the way down, and Jean had her up in the little ponytail, which I thought was a little, those Easter eggs are very, they're doing it. And that you realize, I think when they go back to young Jean Grey, the little toy that she's holding. That was the same toy that was in the Dark Phoenix saga when they went to Jean's childhood home, and they put the blockers on before they started fighting the Imperial Guard again. I was like, oh, very good.
That was cute, but I'm a little confused because if Madeline was Phoenix, I feel like that we would have something would have been known at that point because it's like.
Because I don't think they're, you notice going back to the intro, they have used that Dark Phoenix little scene and the one where Bishop goes, is traveling through time all four episodes. And I do not think that that is without a reason. I'm hoping I'm right, but that I don't think they're not, they are specifically using the scenes from the original series to tell this story. I just don't know in what way.
So Jean, she's like, I gotta stop this. And that's when we really get, and I like this episode again because I'm always arguing online that I was like, y'all. People are always disrespecting Jean from cartoon, but to see like she comes back and she's like, "Let me show you who I am."
Exactly.
Madeline comes up there doing all this talk, and she was like, "Girl," but she said, "But still, who are you and who am I?" Like it was like this is me, and took Madeline and put her in like, "Let me just deal with you right now," but they tied that up neatly because in the comic when they had this confrontation, Madeline died. So I was like, they had this confrontation. And the thing was, the Phoenix, now to for a lot of y'all who don't know, in the comic, that's not Jean Grey who was Phoenix. It was a copy of Jean Grey. Well, Jean Grey was in Jamaica Bay. They once they discover her, she came back. But Madeline did get a piece of the Phoenix Force, which is why she woke up, because the Phoenix was looking for something close to Jean, and it was going to go back to the one that the real Jean that was in the Jamaica Bay, but she rejected it. She's like, I don't want none of this. You killed all those beings and that stuff out of space. I don't want that. So he ended up finding the closest thing, and that was Madeline. So that's how Madeline woke up. It was interesting to see when she got Madeline to kind of break free in some sense, how she used Nathan, like saying like that was your moment when you were alive, you were really something. And that was neat, but I felt like they didn't really get a chance to deal with Sinister, and I feel like he'll probably pop up again. It
Oh,
was.
Miss Girl is coming back. That was just this little tease. She's like, yeah, I know y'all without y'all little professor. And I come to fuck shit up, so.
Yeah, but I'm also trying to figure out when did this, I guess this, when did the switch happen? And again, going back to the original episodes, I'm like, he must have happened when he kidnapped him in the, was it a second season when he kidnapped him?
I mean, so yeah, the second season when they the first time they tried to get married, Sinister had kidnapped them when they were down in the Savage Land, and then they had that big fight with the Nasty Boys and what's Homeboy's name down there? You
Kazar.
know, Halar, yeah. And Sauron was a little bit up in there too. So that could have happened then. There was also the episodes Beyond Good and Evil where Apocalypse, Mr. Sinister, Magneto, they were all working together to kidnap the psychic. And he kidnapped Jean again, kidnapped Jean and Xavier at the second time they tried to get married. So it could have happened there. There does have to be some kind of explanation because you can't just have that kind of thing that happened and then not tell us how it happened.
Yeah, that was really interesting. I was like, we need to figure out how, when did all this kind of take place? But One happened before the Phoenix, and then one happened after the Phoenix, if I'm correct.
Yes, that is correct.
Something has to be explained, because I'm like,
Yeah, it does.
and I'm a little confused, because I'm like thinking, if it's the Phoenix, though. Yeah, so we have to probably come back to that. So I'm like, if that she was Phoenix, I feel like that would have been a reveal at that point. Or could it have been that way? Because remember when she expelled the Phoenix, she just there was like, oh, we found Jean. She's floating in the water somewhere.
She was on Muir Island.
Yeah, that could have been that moment because they did say something in the la we'll get to the fourth episode about. Something happened on the island. I can't remember how they put it, but it was Murr Island they were talking about. But I can't remember how they put it. I might have to watch it again just to see what that part was.
Yeah.
But I'm like wondering, didn't Sinister have something to do with that? Because in the comic, Sinister does have something to do with Murr Island because he made the copies of Mora. And if y'all remember reading the House of X, all of that, Mora is. A mutant who has lived many lives and will continue to like stuff like that. So, who knows? We can go down this trail all the time, but.
And also we have to keep in mind that they did say that some of what's happening in X-Men 97 is going to align to what's going to happen on a live action. So we also need to keep that in mind.
Yeah. Then, so. We also know that Sinister, he reveals that he made Madeline so they could have a child. He will take that child because he wanted that child because it's going to be very powerful. And we see him put them in the Technovirus, which that was not really Sinister. In the comic, that was more of Apocalypse. And we still may see Apocalypse. I think we are going to see Apocalypse, but he was going to do that. They had to, take him into the future to figure out a way to save him. Now in the comics, they do that from Niskani, and Niskani is turns out to be Rachel, who is the daughter of Scott and Jean from another timeline. They do take Nathan to the future, and we know that that baby turns out to be Cable. So we know that, in the future he'll come back as Cable. But someone pointed out if you go back when Jean, when Cable first appeared in the X-Men cartoon, Jean read his mind, and there is a picture of Scott and Jean in his memories, but that particular Jean had her hair down. So that was kind of a scene of her poss that of that being Madeline at that point.
But is this, I don't know if this is actually Cable, because isn't X the X, isn't the mutant X-Man? Isn't that also a child of the Summers?
Yeah, they have. So technically, they have Rachel. Rachel is one who ends up taking over the Phoenix Force at one point. Then they have Nathan. Nathan is the son of Jean. No, son of Scott and Madeline. That are the only kids from those two in different timelines. But what they. Strife, and I can't remember if Strife was even introduced in the original cartoon.
She was not.
So Strife is a clone of Nathan. So when Nathan was going through all of
Right, yeah.
clone of Nathan, which Apocalypse took and then raised for as his own child, and Strife became kind of the heir. Was the goal of Strife was to be the next body for Apocalypse, and he did not accept that very well and fought Apocalypse and became his own. He was like, nope, you're not taking over my body. So that's where we get that part. So I don't know if we will be dealing with that particular thing with Cable, but it was just interesting to see like when Bishop took the baby, and people were upset about like why Bishop gotta leave. And it was like, well,
Why would, who else is gonna leave? Like, he's the only one that knows how to time travel, and
Yes.
I love how they did like a little cameo of his sister Shard, in the House of Horrors. I think he'll return because if we're going to go back to the intro, Storm's out, he'll be out. It's only going to be Magneto, Jean, Cyclops, Jubilee, Beast, Gambit, and Wolverine. So they're already missing a couple, so.
And technically in the comics they've been through that when people will leave like that, and then they do come back for a big moment. And again, we have not really dealt with the fact that we do know the Sinister is coming back. We do know Emma is coming. So there's a lot of stuff that is about to come out there. But so once they deal with going back to the third episode, so once they deal with, the fact that Jean and Madeline are two separate things, she breaks Madeline's rage. Madeline is leaving to go figure out who
Where
she
the fuck's
really
she going though?
is.
Like I asked that shadily, but also honestly, like, bitch, where you going? Are you just gonna, if you just tried to kill everybody, you just gonna walk out of here like nothing happened and just gonna go on your Eat, Pray, Love?
Yeah, she's trying to figure out who she is. That's why she even said, my name is Madeline Pryor. So I'm like, what is that all about? But then I was like, doesn't that leave her vulnerable to Sinister to get her back? Like, I'm like, that. I'm like, I understand you can't stay in that house because the real Jean is there. But a part of me should have been like, no, they should have tried to figure out what's going on here, like how Sinister did this and what was his plan. Because I'm like, maybe they could have scan her mind to find something to do something, because we saw Jean as also at a mega level by doing what she did. So we I think there could have been more done with that part. But yeah, now Madeline's out there, she's out there on the street somewhere, trying to figure out who she is. I'm like, well, where is she going to go? And maybe they will address that later. But I'm very curious how they're going to do with that. But then we get a little piece of where Storm is. She's in Texas. And then here comes, Forge popping up, looking all good, smelling good, sounding all good. I'm like,
That's what, well, Forge has always been fine to me. Like, yeah, and this one, whew. I see it.
Yeah, I was like, okay, now I'm seeing that he's gonna show up. And I love that they did, gave him a little darker skin tone too. They get, like I said, I was like, I felt like it was heavy. I was already giving that feeling when I was looking. I was like,
Oh, I did that. Woo, yes, I know that motherfucker. Woo.
Yeah, so I was like, all right, we ready. So now we get into the fourth episode, which is kind of a two-part-ish, where we get to see the return of, why his name is Lee? Mojo.
Yes.
And we get a
Mo
little bit of life death, but we'll get into, Mojo returns. And I love how they was using the video game, how they use like I think the real cover of the video game.
Yeah, I see. Again, this goes to how good the animation is in this series. How it looked 3D, but the 3D was in it to a 2D background, and it was pixelated as well. Like, it looked so fucking good. And you're right, they did use, I want to say they used X-Men 2 Clone Wars. That was on Sega Genesis, and how that kind of just, it was something, honestly, this particular story, I way back, I want to say third or fourth grade, we had a task to write a story, and we were going to submit it for this contest in school. And so my story was me And I think either my older or my younger sister, we got basically transported into a video game. And we got transported to, I want to say, Donkey Kong Country for some odd reason. And that story won me an award. And I want to say somebody copied off of my goddamn story way back in fourth grade. So I want my fucking royalties. I will have a I will contact my attorney tomorrow morning and we will be drafting up papers. But yes, that this was like, I think this particular episode was a it was an ode to the Jubilee fan. Basically the fans that grew up playing the video game and now they're adults. I want to say it's a kind of a thing, a nod to you as well. But having Mojo was also a fascinating villain. He was just like this Chris Farley-esque type of character that was just blubbering around with himself. But he was also, he was funny, but very dangerous. And the original voice actor, I forgot their name, he always towed that line between comedian and seriousness so well.
Yeah, I enjoy seeing Mojo again, seeing Spiral again, and just seeing,
I
you know.
want to see some more Spiral. I am dying to see a live action Spiral. I
I
think that would
was,
be so cool.
and people don't understand how dangerous and amazing Spiral really is. If you read the comics, she is somebody you don't want to fuck with. And I love the way like her and Rogue never get along, and they have fought many times in the comic. She has a lot to do with the whole Psylocke situation. It's just so much with that character. I hope they really explore her a little more. But in this one, we see, you know, Jubilee and Sunspot get thrown in, and it's really interesting to see, like, you know, it's also for him that he had to stand up and really accept who he was to save the day. But I also like the fact we got to learn that there was multiple versions of Jubilee that they had to use as test person, and the one who survived, she comes in to help, which was kind of neat. It was kind of, and that's been introduced in the comics before, an older version, but it was kind of neat to see that and to see how they both still kind of are the same even after years apart. They're kind of the same.
Oddly enough, the older Jubilee, the voice actor was the original Jubilee in the animated series. So I think that was really good. And it was also so cool to see Jubilation powers punched up a bit and enhanced. Because, you know, we got the little sparkler as little fireworks from her. But to see them actually be used like that, I was like, okay, good job, y'all. Good job.
And it was nice that they had, you know, the person who played the original voice come back. And I think she just recently said that she didn't come back because she wanted somebody else new to take over that. And she was saying there's no disrespect to the character or to the fans of that character. But she was like, it was time for somebody else to take over the voice. And she was happy with that choice. And I'm glad they was able to make that work really well.
Right.
To see Jubilee grow up and to know that she's 18, you know, so it was like, oh, okay, she's 18. So I think she was, what, 14 when it started or what have you. So it was nice to see a little bit of that, but also to see her and Roberto become a thing. Was a he's a he really doesn't he's kind of a hoe, but in this, you know, it was kind of neat to see those two kind of come together in a way.
Yes. And to see Roberto use his powers a little bit more. But let's also go back to Storm because Storm, prior to this episode, Forge says that he could get back to Storm what she lost. And everybody was like, oh, she's going to get her powers back. comes to find out in episode four, Forge was the reason why those bracelets were made in the first place. And that pissed off Storm. She was like, oh, so it's your motherfucking fault that I don't have my powers. And she let him hold it too. And when they were out riding, Storm notices this owl. And was it an owl or a bird or what? Some kind of fucking bird. And she's like, that owl is kind of circling us, which already this woman don't have any powers now, but she's already so observant. And I think that is a tribute to her life as a thief back in the day. So, and Forge, how he dismissed it, now that I think about it, the red flag should have went up. And that bird, what was the bird's name at the end? It's some kind of, I thought it was the Shadow King again.
It's the adversary.
So explain to everybody who the adversary is, because a lot of us are not familiar with that.
So in the comic, now if y'all remember, Ford said he was in a war. He left very bitter. So he was in the war. And I think in the comic, they had to use Vietnam. I think Vietnam was the war they used. And it was something happening where he, his troop, everybody was dead, and he had to use, he's also a shaman, and he used their, I think their souls or something, to fight against the enemy and what have you. But because he's been a shaman, they've always dealt with the adversary. The adversary is a trickster god. So, and I think in Native American folklore, there's a trickster god. Like, we have a trickster god in African history, and I think he's more of a spider. And this one, the adversary is kind of a trickster god. He's coming back and forth with Forge because Forge is from a magical ancestry. His ancestry is magical. And so adversary is a trickster god. He's coming after Forge, but in the comic, he tricks Storm into doing his bidding because the goal was to kill Forge. So in the comic, he Storm, and Storm stabs Forge because he made Forge, she the adversary made Storm believe that Forge was the reason why darkness was coming. So, and she kind of believed it due to her anger towards him. But adversary is a trick, kind of a trickster god that is coming for mostly Forge, but he's going to take advantage of Storm as well.
Okay, I have a question. Do you remember you saw the episodes Beyond Good and Evil, like I referenced before? Do you remember at the end of that episode, like the guy that was basically the janitor of the time between time, the axis of time, that's what they called it, and he changed into that, he was a trickster. Did they ever give him a name?
Oh man, I don't remember now. I'm gonna have to go back and look. And I can do that today because it's all on Disney, so I can go back.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't know. That's a good
Because
question.
if they didn't, he could be an adversary, but I don't remember, does the adversary have psychic or telekinetic ability?
No, I mean, again, the adversary is a god, so they could do
Oh, well, true.
all types of interesting things. And so we'll see what this leads into. But I also like jumping back somewhere in the middle, an episode. I got laughed at this. There's when they looked at not his vision board, but if you look at the like his wall in Forge's office or whatever. There's that one picture. One is one picture of him with X Factor, which was kind of neat. That was neat to see that he was a part of X Factor because he was. But it was that one picture of him like on the beach, shirtless on the beach. He's like trying to look all like he's thinking through stuff. Like I was like, why they put that picture up?
Yeah.
But they're trying to make a thirst trap out of Forge. But yes, he did create that the weapons that they used, and that is something that scene where, and I love that they even had Storm dressed the way she did in the comic of Life Death with the white overalls. I was like, that is from the comic. If y'all don't know anything, that is from the comic. But I love that they had that conversation where she even, when he revealed what happened, she was like, even you should know not to trust anything from, coming from the Washington. I was like, that's a good line. Because it was like, if you didn't know the history of Native Americans and how all that went down, I love that she said that. She's like, you out of all people should know. And I was like, damn, she just slit your throat with that one. But when he said that, I love you, and she, someone said the slap was too much. I'm like, well, in the comics, she punched him. So that's,
It was an assault either way, so
yeah.
take your pick.
She was like, you made a promise to me and you're not keeping it. We'll come back to this when you don't renege on your promise. Do what you said you're going to do.
I always preferred their relationship versus Storms and Black Panthers, because I felt like it was like, oh, two black superheroes. Oh, let's go make them get married and whatnot. And I thought this was more, a little bit more dynamic. But I did feel like him professing her love to her was a little rushed. Now, granted, they only got 30 minutes or whatever, but maybe that could have been alluded to next episode, because we know it's going to be, this was a part one, and this was going to be a continuation of whatever this thing that took Storm or.
Now, in the comic, now when they did Life Death, they did reveal they had feelings for each other. And then when the adversary intervened, they were put in a different dimension where, for example, I think they were trapped there for years, but it was like only a few hours, but they really fell in love in that dimension. And so I've always, and some of y'all who may follow me, I've always advocated for Storm and Forge, because they had a, that relationship was something else. Like when you read it, it makes more sense than her and Black Panther, like you're saying. That was, to me, I will always say that was forced. It did not make sense. It still doesn't. I know some people will disagree, but if you read her and Forge's storyline throughout the years, it just makes more sense. But hopefully in this next episode, I really hope this next episode really focus on them. They may be trapped in a different dimension, who knows? But eventually she gets her powers back because he does cast a spell to give them back to her.
Yeah, we know it's coming, and it's going to be a thing.
So I'm really excited about what that will look like. It was still a little, sad when she was trying to get her powers back, and you thought something was going to happen, but it turned out it was just birds. But how she was just kind of defeated. But I'm excited to. I mean, we know she'll get her powers back.
Right. Mama's coming. She's gonna storm back, pun intended.
And she is getting a new costume. For those who don't know, she will have a new costume by the end of this season. So what would that costume be? I will go on record, I have never been a fan of that white uniform. I hate that white uniform. I've always hated it. There's a black version of that I prefer, but I always felt like when they made the white one, it's because the way the colors kind of played, they just kind of made it. It was kind of silver, not really white, and then it just kind of got into being white because it kind of went
Yeah.
silverish and then white. I do not, I hate that white costume. I will always hate that white costume. So I hope they go back to a black. But what I do know is we will see her in her original costume. They will show that.
Oh, the one like which you had, like the pride on the pride of the X-Men.
Yeah. The headdress, all that stuff, we will see that. So I'm looking forward to that being seen. But I like that way that I like the way that episode ended because we know this is about to be something between them. And maybe we may get to see what Storm ancestral magic is, you know, because since they're getting into this realm of things, will they even touch on that?
And since again, some of these storylines will be in the MCU, if we'll see any other characters from any MCU properties, I think this series is one of the best shows that I've seen this year. I'm going to actually put my money saying X-Men 97 is going to be the best show this year. It's just so fucking good. And maybe it's the nostalgia in me, but also they know how to tell a story. Like you had the original showrunners and producers from the animated series come back, which we've had on our podcast. You can go back in the vault and watch, listen to it. It's just the writing is good, the action is dynamic, and I'm interested with they already season two was coming. Season three is in production, or I think season three has been greenlit. So they can just go on and on like the other series.
And I think this is a nice break for the MCU to focus on them right now because it's been a lot happening. And, you know, I'm glad that maybe this is Kevin saying, like, hey, we've done a lot. There's been some misfires, but let's stop and put the focus on this. We know Fantastic Four is coming, we know some other stuff is coming. Let's put this on this. Get
And
people.
maybe this can jumpstart Marvel's jump into animation because we always say that DC's animation is head and shoulders above everybody else's. Maybe this can give Marvel a running start to expand their animation universe and have that universe be and thrust it in the MCU.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm very curious about where they're going to go. I do like they've taken this break because now they can maybe go through them because you know it was nice when it's like we focus on this, we'll get this together. And also this they needed time to kind of like figure out this whole Kang situation because they had to remix all of that. Now I don't know that they now. The actor is getting some type of support. You know, he was on BT Awards and they show him a lot of love. So who knows? But at this point, they had to really remix what they had coming up. So I think this is, in some ways, this is them like, this is giving us time to figure out what next steps can be.
Right.
It's good for them because they have what? They have Blade coming, they have Fantastic Four coming. They have Captain America, Red, White, and Blue coming. So these are three things that we know that are coming.
Right.
But they probably just needed that time to be like, let's just get this back together. A possible another Spider-Man 4. Let's figure out what we're going to do to where we don't end up being, because they have to be on point. We got a new DCU coming.
Yep.
And they have to be like, well, damn, we don't want to be upstaged. We've been upstaging them for the past 15, almost 15 years. So let's, you know, let's not let up, you know, because now
Right.
we have one of our own superpowers over there now. Because I know, because I was talking about this with some people the other day. I was like, Kevin took, what's his name,
James Gunn.
and gave him the ability to do something that nobody else could really do. And that's to take a group that nobody gave a damn about and turn them into one of the biggest moneymakers in that universe.
I mean, truth be told, nobody was checking for Iron Man neither.
No.
We were like, who? So, and Thor was relatively, I don't want to say not unknown, but nobody was checking for Thor or Black Widow or these, Hawkeye.
Even Cap, let's be honest too. Cap was right. Like not a character we were all into.
Exactly. So, yeah, I don't have any kind of expectations or things that I want to see. I just want them to, I just want to be entertained.
Yeah.
That's it. That is absolutely it.
And that's what, I feel like they hitting a win here. And I also feel like that who knows what they can go with this. I don't want them to keep going. I feel like this is give people what they want, stop, and then think about how we're going to introduce them into the MCU. Because we kind of know that they are there due to the end of Marvels. When you saw the Marvels, you kind of...
You're right.
...to get into.
Well, hell, we kind of figured that they were there in Ms. Marvel at the end of that series. But yeah.
All right. So as y'all can tell, we really do like this series.
I hate it. Couldn't stand it.
watched these episodes multiple times because they're really that good. That's really a lot. I'm going to have to get both Jean Grey figures because I want – they come with both heads, the ponytail head and the straight hair. Be like, here's that one. I mean, I have Madeline. I have Storm. What I love is you can't really find these in the store. I had to buy this at WonderCon, but you can't really find them in the stores. They sell out. And I love that people are buying them and they're selling out and all that good stuff too. So I have my Storm figure. I have two because Target had it on sale for like $7. So I bought two. I was like, well, I'm going to get two. One open and one to keep in the thing. But I'm just really excited for this. I'm glad this is working out. I'm glad people are tuning in. And I think it's because people miss the X-Men on TV. And I also think people trusted the cartoon more. Because, you know, we see arguments online. They always talk about how the cartoon was the only one who can do the Dark Phoenix. Well, even though that's not even completely correct, they did it better than two movies. So, you know, this has been really good, and I'm really glad it's being successful.
That's right. And I agree. And with that being said, you can find us on social media at Megashane. You can like, rate, subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcast. I'm at what Porter say, Victor's at Wonderman 5. What else?
That's pretty much it.
Make sure that it, yeah.
And let us know what you think about it. And yeah, we'll see what these next episodes. I think it's what 10, 8 or 10 episodes. So
yeah, something like that.
Yeah, a few more to go, and then we'll come back and talk about all the rest after that.
Well, we'll see y'all next time.
All right, everybody.